Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We have been too content for too long to allow individuals to mow our lawn, serve our food, clean our homes, and even watch our children while not affording them any of the benefits that make our country so great.
Senator John McCain, who was for a path to citizenship before he was against it, and now he's for it again as part of a bipartisan Senate blueprint for comprehensive immigration reform. But don't think it'll be easy. Here is Arizona's other Republican senator, Jeff Flake, on Morning Edition today, saying this is not like the amnesty bill that Ronald Reagan signed in 1986.
If you look back in 86, it was amnesty because if you could prove that you'd been here 5 years, you got a shortcut to a green card. You cut in line ahead of those who had been going through the legal orderly process. That won't be the case here. If you're going to get on a path to citizenship here, you have to get in line behind those who have gone through the process. And it's a long and arduous process as well, with fines and back taxes and requirements to learn English, not just for citizenship, but for permanent residency. And so there are a lot of things that are different here, as well as a certification or sign-off that border security has been achieved before the first person here illegally now gets on any path.
Senator Jeff Flake, Republican from Arizona. Now, President Obama unveils his version of a plan later today in Nevada, which, of course, was a key state for his election victory and largely because of Latino voters. So let's find out more and get reactions from some of you immigrants listening right now. With me is Chunghwa Hong, Executive Director of the New York Immigration Coalition. Hi, Chunghwa. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, if you are an immigrant, especially if you're an undocumented immigrant or know an undocumented immigrant, we want to know what you think of this blueprint. 212-433-WNYC. Have you been following this closely since it started to emerge a couple of days ago? 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. First shout out is for undocumented immigrants yourselves. If you've taken a look at this or anybody who knows undocumented immigrants and cares about, you know, those individuals you know and anyone else, 212-433-9692. You heard Senator Flake there, Chunghwa, on some of the requirements and limitations, and there are others. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think yesterday's bipartisan announcement represents hopefully the end of political football with the immigration issue and beginning of a rational debate. And so while there's a lot of concerns we have about the specifics of the proposal, I join many, many immigrants in welcoming the bipartisan debate and the consensus building process. There will be challenges around the question of how. You know, I think it's significant that there's bipartisan agreement on path to citizenship. But we're going to have to really kind of duke it out about, you know, how long it's going to take and what steps must be taken before someone is eligible to apply for
citizenship. So let's go through some of the specifics on that. Like, how would back taxes and fines work? Do you know?
They don't have specific details on that, other than, you know, to say that the taxes and, you know, learning English and background checks will be part of the process,
which is something predictable
that we had been expecting.
And you accept that? You can be comfortable with that?
Yes. Again, there's kind of devils in the details on how, if they do it in a way that is unworkable, you know, we're going to make sure that workable ways are developed. But I think it's not unreasonable to put certain requirements and procedures in place to manage what we expect to be a pretty huge process.
From what I read, there'll be something that might be called probationary legal status, provided the undocumented immigrants pass a criminal background check and pay those back taxes and fines. That would be less than a green card, less than permanent residency. But would it basically be the same thing because people wouldn't get deported off that list?
Not really. I think again, we have to look at the whole entire path to citizenship to make sure that it's not a 30-year path and, you know, fraught with, you know, all these barriers, so that in the end it's not a meaningful path to citizenship. So we need to make this into a meaningful path mm-hmm. to citizenship, because we're all acknowledging here we don't want 12 million people staying as undocumented immigrants.
Right.
If our goal is to bring them out of the shadows, let's come up with a system that works.
But there's a difference between undocumented and being a citizen. In other words, a lot of people with permanent residency status never actually become citizens. But the permanent residency is the green card. That's the sigh of relief moment where you know you can yeah. stay as long as you want to stay. Would there be a meaningful difference between the green card permanent residency status and this probationary legal status, which I guess would come quickly under this plan, but that's where you would get stuck until they certified the border as sealed?
Right. So none of these trigger provisions are really workable, because reform should happen simultaneously. Path to citizenship should be pursued. And to be honest, Brian, our border is secured. Our budget for border enforcement is at $18 billion right now, is more than all the other law enforcement agencies combined. The border apprehensions are the lowest it's ever been in 40 years. So I think there's a little bit of posturing, you know, there about the border. I think the border is secured, and we must go about, proceeding with these reforms, including path to citizenship, which I think is going to happen. The question is how. It was very good that they're referring to future visas that address the market needs of our economy, as opposed to random numbers that Congress sets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very positive. And then they've also mentioned reducing the family backlog, which is another big concern and a reason why we have so many immigrants here without papers, because they want to be reunited with their family members. So the framework is very positive overall. We have concerns about, you know, the how and major details. But, you know, the momentum, I think the word of the day is momentum. And I also hope that the president in his speech today will make up for some of the weaknesses and the flaws in the agreement that was announced yesterday.
By the senators. Although I'm seeing indications this morning, like a tweet from the White House, that makes it look like the president is going to embrace the senator's plan and maybe not go further than that. So we'll have to wait to hear it from his own lips. But let's take some calls. Our board is full of immigrant callers. When people finish up, you can call in at 212-433-WNYC. All our lines are full right now. And we continue with our guest, Changhua Hung, the executive director of the New York Immigration Coalition. Franz in Spring Valley, you're on the air. Thank you for calling in.
Where you go?
Franz, can you hear me?
Yes.
Franz, hi Franz, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi Ben, good morning. My name is Franz, I'm calling from Spring Valley, New York. I just want to tell you, I don't think it's necessary to be on talking to the fact that somebody has to be able to speak English to get your paper. There is people in the country for 15, 20 years, they've been in the country without the paper. If it comes the time where the president has to do something, or the country has to do something for those people, I think the responsibility is not to get your paper by being able to speak English. There's people who come from other countries in the world, another country in Europe. They come here to get their paper.
The other side would argue that if you're going to get permanent residency status in this country, you should at least show your seriousness about being in this country by learning to speak some basic English. Why not?
I mean, I believe one way or another, you will be able to communicate in this country, but there's people who are technicians coming to some other countries. They are doctors, they are whatever they are. They come in the United States, and at the end of the day, they accept them. They give them jobs just because they're white, just because they're coming from some countries in Europe. Because they don't come, when you come from the Caribbean, you come from Haiti, you come from Jamaica, they give you all the problems. in the world just before to come from a third world country.
Right. So you think the English language requirement is actually a surrogate for something else. Chung Wahang, thank you for your call, Franz. Call us again. Chung Wahang, is there currently an English language requirement for a residency status for a green card?
Yes. For citizenship there is. And I think the caller is partially correct in saying that, you know, we have a history of using literacy tests and other kind of surrogate, you know, or other purported requirements, but, you know, to really defend racist quota systems and so on. But I do want to point out that immigrants are eager to learn English, eager to integrate themselves into the mainstream economy. And so I think if the requirements are done in a reasonable way and also provided, immigrants are provided with affordable ESL classes and so on, again, and not put up as barriers, because right now there's also people are trying to make the English testing requirement harder and harder for no legitimate reason, and so we have to be cautious about monitoring how it's done.
Anne in Lawrenceville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Anne. I'm an illegal immigrant who will see this coming very happily because I could not go home to see my father before he died. So I want to know how soon, once I fulfill some requirements, and I will be able to travel, for one. And how many years of back taxes would you have to pay? I didn't know I could pay my taxes. Otherwise, I would have done it sooner. I only have 3 years of back taxes that I paid. How many years of back taxes are they going to ask? As an illegal, I thought I wasn't supposed to pay because I was going to be seen and be deported. So how can they resolve that? How much are they going to ask?
Chung Wahang, I'll bet a lot of people have that same question as Anne is asking.
Exactly. And the answer is we don't know what Congress will ultimately decide. Again, we are going to push them to come up with a realistic way and an expedient way of applying for the path to getting on the path to citizenship. So we have to make our concerns heard and let people know that a lot of immigrants actually have been paying taxes, and even those who want to, just need a method to do that.
And also, you know, when would we have the right to travel? I couldn't see my father before he died. He was a killer.
That's a terrible story, and again, so common for people who are here out of status. Chung Wahang, how quickly before Anne or anyone else would be able to travel, do you think?
Exactly. I think that is a very important but unknown detail at this point. It is simply tragic, the family separation, children talking to their parents only over the phone, not being able to travel, like you said, when there's death in the family of their loved ones. These are all the human costs that lawmakers need to keep in mind as they try to reach a compromise on this important legislation, because this is really about keeping families together. And we need to just realize that there is a moral imperative here, because families are just being destroyed. And I just want to say that immigration reform, if done right, will be our ticket to restoring our American value of family unity, and also for economic prosperity. And we can meet those twin goals if we do this right.
Of course, a lot of critics would say, well, if you're making the choice to be here illegally, then those are the chances and the sacrifices that you decide to take and to make. But on the question of back taxes, how will it be calculated for people who've worked off the books? A lot of undocumented people necessarily work off the books for the same reason that Anne is saying, so you don't get into the government sites and get deported.
You know, again, I think it is feasible to come up with a reasonable way of asking for back taxes. Again, we don't know the details at this point, but we want to make it possible. We want to make it easy for people to pay taxes, right? So we will be pushing for that.
Elijah in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elijah.
Yes, hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. We always listen. I'm a cab driver.
I'm glad.
And I've been here 20 years. And I just wanted to ask, is it going to make any difference for us if things go right, you know, to be able to travel to see our families back home?
Will it make, I'm sorry, what's your question?
Is it going to make any difference for people who've been here 20 years if things, something passed, you know, and we'll be able to travel right away back home to see our families?
I see. Chenghua, Elijah's asking, will time count in his favor because he's been here a long time?
I mean, we hope that the equity and the length of time and the contributions that immigrants have made over the years will count as an important factor in how quickly people can get on the path to citizenship. And we hope that the ability to travel will be one of the first fixes, you know, that could be addressed way before citizenship.
So, Elijah, thank you very much for your call. Obviously, a lot of details yet to come. We'll hear what President Obama says when he speaks in Las Vegas today, whether he just echoes what people consider the strengths or weaknesses of the Senate plan, or if he's going to try to push them further in any way. That's coming later mm-hmm. today. And Chenghua Hong, Executive Director of the New York Immigration Coalition. Last question. I see there's an April 10th pro-immigrant rally scheduled for Washington. Will this be a rally in support of this bill, almost no matter what, or will it turn into a rally to protest its tougher provisions?
Well, it'll be a rally in support of immigration reform, common sense immigration reform proposals. We don't know if by that time we will have a piece of legislation, in which case, you know, we will point out, you know, the strength, you know, the what we support and what we don't support. But we have learned from the past that this is not, even though there's unprecedented bipartisan political will at this point, this is going to take a lot of sustained community pressure and community members letting lawmakers know about the important provisions that must be included. And so our April 10th mobilization is an important event. We hope to have tens of thousands of people, diverse immigrant communities, telling lawmakers and telling the president to continue to lead. We need the president to lead on this issue and keep the momentum so that it doesn't go back to the bottleneck and the paralysis that often that we've experienced in the past. Because sure. to be honest, this is the last, the president has a second chance to lead this, and this is his last chance.
Chenghua Hong, thanks a lot.
Thank you. For those of you who are interested in joining us on April 10th to get on the bus, go to Washington, D.C., please give us a call at 212-627-2227. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's the three-month anniversary of Sandy. We'll hear from WNYC's Janet Babin next on her shoreline road trip from Cape May to Montauk. Stay with us.